This is the John Clayton Show.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
On 710 ESPN Seattle.
So you thought I wasn't going to do a Saturday show from the Super Bowl. Well, guess what? We are doing a Saturday show from the Super Bowl because, you know, obviously it was going to be a little bit later because we had our 8-hour meeting for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And, you know, the votes, we just finished up. And so now making it back and getting things set up. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. But no, it's like what we did. Now, I cannot give you the results because, you know why? I don't know the results yet. We will know them in 2 hours. What's going on right now? We started at, well, we had to be there at about 6:30 this morning. At 7 o'clock, we started the meeting, and we had 18 people to go through. You know, we had Bobby Bethard as a contributor. You know, we had two seniors, Robert Brazil, a senior from the Houston Oilers, and then, of course, you know, one of the great ones, Jerry Kramer from the Green Bay Packers. That was a yes or no vote. And then we had the votes. I mean, we had the presentations for the 15 modern-day players that were going through. That would include Art Oteo, you know, certainly Randy Moss and, you know, Steve Hutchinson, Kevin Mawai. So in 2 hours, we will know the results of who's in and who's out. Hopefully there's going to be eight because we'll have five modern day players, and then we'll have two seniors, and then hopefully Bobby Bethard as a contributor. So we'll go through all that. I mean, fascinating type of day as far as the National Football League. And of course, it's a great day because, as Dave Baker, the president of the Hall of Fame, says, that we are changing people's lives. Because as we speak, Dave Baker goes from the Hall of Fame. He's trying to fight through a snowstorm right now because it's not only cold, frigid, but it's snowy here. They're expecting about 4 inches in Minneapolis and in St. Paul and in Bloomington. So you know this is not going to be a good day. And so he's going over to the hotel as we speak to knock on the door of five people that are waiting to find out if they're going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, along with Bobby Bethard's people and two seniors. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. I hope you're catching the word that we are here because we want to take plenty of phone calls. Certainly we'll talk Super Bowl. We'll talk what's going on with the Seahawks. But let's get started with some headlines. All right, so again, we had the vote today, and we've got the 8 hours in, and again, we're awaiting the results now in a little less than 2 hours of who's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And of course, I think the mystery obviously is going to be what goes with Randy Moss. Can he make it as a first ballot? Can Tio make it finally after waiting 3 years to get in? And you know, that's the one. Right now, it's the most polarizing because so many people, rightfully so, think that T.O.'s in. And if you are asking, I'm saying, yes, I voted for T.O. I can't talk about the 46 other people who voted today. One person was ill, so we normally would have 48, but only 47 voted today. You know, and once you get down from 15 to 10, 10 to 5, and then you go yes, no on the five that go in. So we'll see if T.O. makes it. We'll see if Steve Hutchinson make it. I can tell you, great presentations, strong interest in Kevin Mawai, the former Seahawk, and Steve Hutchinson. You know, and if they don't make it this year, I hope they do, but then they'll probably make it next year. Other news in the National Football League, Rob Gronkowski has been cleared to play in the Super Bowl. I did not get a chance to really get together with him. I was hoping on Thursday, had a network radio thing that I had to do. I was supposed to get together with him 5 minutes to get the full story of how, why he got to my high school. But at least I know if they win the game, or even if they lose, they're going to chance to maybe see him after the game and ask him how he got to Woodland Hills High School coming from Buffalo. But again, injury list very solid right now. Looks like everybody should be able to play. As far as other news, as you know, Alex Smith was traded to the Washington Redskins from the Kansas City Chiefs. They've agreed on a contract that's going to pay him $23.5 million. And you know, there's some interesting things coming up this week that you have to watch for news for the Seahawks, because you know, there's going to be a handful of contracts that come due that are going to have guarantees on them. For example, Doug Baldwin, obviously, who's going to be with the team next year. year. He has guarantees in his contract. That's going to be by Thursday. Bobby Wagner has some guarantees in his contract. A bunch of others. We'll go through all of that, see your thoughts. And, you know, now all of a sudden, the one thing that changes, you have the game on Sunday. Starting Monday, you can start cutting players. You can start working contracts. You can start doing some things. So there is no offseason in the National Football League. Big game, of course, this weekend, Washington taking on Arizona, trying to see. And they can continue to at least advance toward the NCAA tournament. You know, they're right now fourth in the Pac-12. The Huskies having a great season so far. Nobody expected it, and we'll keep you up to date on those. And those are our headlines. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. I know we kind of sprung this show on you, so let's go to Christopher in Gig Harbor. Hey, Christopher.
Hey, John, longtime listener, big fan of your show, big fan of you in general. I have a couple questions. My first question is in regards with Nick Foles and the Eagles. Do you think the Eagles will trade Nick Foles if he wins the game? Also, I want to know if you think that the Seahawks will let Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman most likely play out their final year on their contract and then decide if they want to retain him. I'll listen to your answers off air.
Okay, Christopher. I mean, first off, yeah, there may be some trade value in Nick Foles. We know one thing that's not going to change is that Carson Wentz will be the starting quarterback of the team. But my guess is, you know, they have to kind of hold him close to the vest because look what happened this year. Carson Wentz has the great season. He blows out his ACL. Now they find out he has an LCL injury, and so you hope he's going to be ready. So they control his contract. It's 2 years. It's $11 million. And so what you have to wait for is, okay, how's Wentz doing? So initially, trade him, no. Now, again, they can go out like they did this past year, maybe go find another quarterback if they get good trade value. And as you saw with the Sam Bradford trade, they did indeed get great value, but they got it in training camp because Bradford went to Minnesota when Teddy Bridgewater suffered his bad knee injury. And, you know, obviously Bradford came through it okay, and the Eagles came through. They got a 1-4. They're not going to get the same value for Nick Foles, but let's say, for example, everything's going well on Wentz. You get close to the draft. You got a team that's interested. Maybe you can get a second-round pick, and then you go out and go get another quarterback. But I think you can see how much they value a backup quarterback. A year ago, they had Chase Daniels. He was on a 2-year deal at $7 million a year. Now, again, when you start talking to backup quarterback salaries, they've gone south almost like running backs, fullbacks, and a couple other positions where they just don't get the value. I mean, where before, you could have a backup quarterback making $7 or $8 million. Now 5.5 is the highest paid, and if anything happens to Foles, then it might go even lower. I mean, there's gaps of like $2 to $3 million. I mean, look at Case Keenum. He's making $2 million on a 1-year deal. So it's hard anymore for a backup quarterback to get more than $4 million. As far as Earl Thomas, I do think with his possibility of going and maybe having a holdout, I think that there might be a trade. Now, we were talking in the room today, you know, how rare is that to happen? A Hall of Fame caliber player, and I'll put Earl in that category, being traded. Well, I mean, we're talking about what happened with Marshall Faulk, because remember, the Indianapolis Colts knew that year that they could get Edgerrin James or maybe Ricky Williams, and that Marshall Faulk wanted to be a holdout because, you know, he was, you know, going to be asking for big money, and they just certainly determined, you know what, it's not worth it, and we can come up with a, you know, at least somebody that can come in and fill in the void, and that's exactly what they did, and so they traded him. Now, again, he made the Hall of Fame. Edgerrin James is up for the Hall of Fame too, so they came out of it okay. But here's where I would have to think it's, you've got to consider it, and of course, you can't jump to any quick conclusion, because what you have to do with Earl Thomas is get value. You know, on the street, the ideal thing to be a first-round pick and more, but the fact that he can be a holdout is going to limit what they may be able to get. So they have to get the equivalent, at least, of a first-round pick. Now, that doesn't mean it's a solid first-round pick. Maybe what it has to be is a second-round pick and something else to at least get the value to a first-rounder. So I think that is a possibility, because what you don't want is a distraction. What you don't know for sure, as much as he says he wants to be here, does he really want to be here? And you go back to the last contract negotiation and how tough tough that was. You know, he got a four-year, $40 million deal that made him the highest-paid safety in football. But I think that, you know, now you got to pay him $14, $15 million. And, you know, I think they don't have a problem paying him 14, but if he wants 15 or 16, that could be a problem. So I think you can see Sherman, a possible trade. I think you can also look at the possibility that I think Richard Sherman's going to stay here. So Thomas goes. I think Sherman stays here because you don't have any time limit on the Richard contract. There's no base salary guarantee. He's coming off an Achilles injury. So, you know, trade value right now is going to be very questionable. And he's so valuable to this team, both as a leader and a player. So I think right now, I think Sherman stays. And I think there's a better than 50% chance that maybe Earl Thomas goes. Hey, Christopher, thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. As we get you, let's say, is it Jenny in Seattle? Jimmy in Seattle. Hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, Hey, John, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, John, well, I know the voting's over now, if you don't know the results, obviously, but I really hope Keogh gets in this year. I know there was a lot of push against him last year. I think it's kind of ill-founded. I don't think he does. I personally think he deserves to get in. I guess we'll have to wait a couple hours to see the final.
Yeah.
Hey, John, a couple of things.
And by the way, hey, Jimmy, I'll share you with one thought, okay, because, you know, I've been voting since 1988. For consecutive years voting, I'm the senior guy. Now, I'm not the oldest guy, but for consecutive years voting, I'm the senior guy. I've got more tenure right now than anybody else. But here's the interesting thing that I was thinking of, and maybe you'll appreciate that. Okay, so now I'm a little bit of an older voter, but I think you know me well enough. It's like, okay, I think I have a young mind, and I think that you realize you've got to adjust, and you've got to change, and you've got to make sure that you stay current. So, like, for example, if you're, say, 34 years or younger, and you grow up watching T.O., tell me a person that's going to be a football fan that's going to say T.O. shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And I venture to say there would be nobody. Okay, we can talk about how he would anger his quarterbacks, how he would cause problems in the locker room, how he would do this and how he would do that. But, I mean, Jimmy, would you think there's anybody under the age of 34 that would say, T.O. shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame for X reason?
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. I definitely think he'll get in, but I guess, like I said, I guess I'll wait and see, John. A couple things about a couple quarterbacks, John. What do you think the Niners are going to do? Do you think if they sign him to a long-term deal, he'll get more Stafford?
Now, repeat that again, Jimmy.
I said, John, if the Niners sign Garoppolo to a long-term deal, do you think he'll get more total money than Matt Stafford?
No, I do not. I think what you're looking at, because, again, it's like you can try to get greedy on this stuff, and then you end up losing. I mean, you know, understand the situation he's in, and there was never any problem with Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo, and I can tell you that because they share the same agent, Don Yee. And so all Tom Brady did is says, hey, I don't know what you're going to do with Garoppolo, but I'm telling you, I'm playing 3, 4, 5 more years. I mean, put that into your thinking, and understand that they were willing to talk about a $17 million a year contract for Garoppolo, but if you're Garoppolo, the worst you're going to get is the franchise tag at 23.3. So now, figuring that, you know, it's like you take one of two tax if you're the 49ers or if you're Jimmy Garoppolo. You know you're going to get 23.3. So if they give you 24 or 24 and a half, can you be satisfied, you know, realizing you've got a team that went and got you and you got Kyle Shanahan as your coach? I'd venture to say, you know, You take the 24 or whatever, and don't worry about 27 and a half or 28. Kirk Cousins is the one that's got to try to get the $28 million, because after that, it'll be Matt Ryan coming up with maybe 29 or 30 million, Aaron Rodgers, maybe 30, 31 million, and then we'll see where Russell Wilson goes, because then he'll be able to command something in the $30 million range. But no, as far as Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, don't get greedy. I mean, you hit the jackpot. I mean, you got the trade that got you out of there. I mean, you got the flexibility if you take the franchise tag, because remember, if you take the franchise tag this year, you know that next year they may have to do the same, but that's going to be probably a $26 million. So you might as well try to do a $24, $25 million deal, get the guarantees, enjoy it, get your, you know, at your big payday, because now that to me is the best business that they can do.
Well, hey, John, I mean, if I'm Garoppolo's agent and I just see that Alex has got $70 million guaranteed, I'm not coming at the table unless the Niners guarantee me at least $70 million. Would you agree
with
that?
Yeah, but I always give the beware when you look at the guarantees, because the basic way that the guarantees are in the National Football League, and it's worked against the players, you know, it may say $71 million, but it's not $71 million. You know, usually what it comes down to, it's two times the average. Okay, so Alex Smith got $23.5 on his deal. I would venture to say that the full, and then we're talking about skill guarantee. And what the skill guarantee is, you know, just for being alive and playing football, I mean, he'll get $47 million. My guess is for the third year of the contract, there'll be an injury guarantee. So if he's injured past, say, March, then you have to guarantee the base salary of $24 million. That gets you to 71. But no, it's rare anymore for that third year to be guaranteed in base salary, full base salary. So don't think he got $71 million. My guess, it's 47 and maybe at the most $50 million. And then if something goes wrong, and we know, you know, with the Cam Chancellor deal, if something goes wrong there, there's a guarantee there for $6.2 million. So, you know, you can get it and have some protection. But as far as $71 million, I guarantee he didn't get that guarantee.
Hey, John, one last thing. So it looks like Kirk Cousins is obviously going to be the number one quarterback teams are going to be looking at. What do you think the market is for A.J. McCarron, and what kind of draft pick do you think he would command? Thanks, John.
Okay, Jimmy, thanks. Hey, we won't know until February 15th. He has a hearing that is going on there. It's trying to determine if he's going to be a free agent or not be a free agent. You know, what it came down to is that he had that one year where he sat out the season with an injury, and when that happens, particularly when you're on NFI or PUP, I mean, your contract, as they call it, tolls. And what that means is that you have an extra year on your contract. And so that would keep him as a restricted free agent. Now, if he wins the case, then he's a free agent. And then, you know, I think Cleveland would be interested. I don't think he's going to get, you know, $10, $12 million, but I think that he can probably anticipate, maybe 12, something like that, 12 to 13, but I don't see him getting $18 million. I just don't think he's in the market to be able to do that. You know, I think that Cleveland would try to do something, but I think they try to do it 12 or less. So first off, he has to find out if he's a restricted free agent or not. If he is, then he's probably only going to get $3 million. If he's not restricted and he's an unrestricted free agency, then, of course, he's going to get some bigger dollars and then maybe get a starting job. But at the moment, you know, the Bengals hold his rights, and that means, you know, they can have him for $3 million, but if they lose that hearing and lose that, then he's going to be a free agent. You know, this also has some effect on other players that you know, you can see. So but again, it's one of those, it's not too often you have this, but when a contract has something like this, you know, it tolls, and so he may have that extra year. Jimmy, thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN 206-421-ESPN. We are at the Super Bowl in freezing Minneapolis. We'll come back and take your phone calls. It's John Clayton.
You're listening to The John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com. Now, more John Clayton.
866-979-ESPN 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Michael in New York. Hey, Michael.
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm doing well.
If the Patriots were playing the Vikings, do you think Randy Moss would be rooting for the Vikings or for the Patriots?
Vikings. Although, knowing Randy Moss, he may not be rooting for either one. I mean, because he, he spent more time with the Vikings. I mean, you know, if he makes the Hall of Fame, which I think there's a decent chance he will, he'll go in as a Viking. But, you know, and then, you know, I don't think that the Patriot experience, even though the success was there, parted in the way that he wanted it. Because, again, it's like, you know, he rumbled about a contract. They ended up moving him over and getting rid of him. And I don't think he liked that very much. So, no, I don't think under any circumstance will he, you know, be rooting for the Patriots, because as much as he may like Tom Brady, he's going to like the Vikings and the Viking fans and, you know, the Viking organization much more, because that's where he cut his teeth.
Right. A follow-up question. With McDaniels leaving, who do you think would take over as offensive coordinator?
I get the feeling that as either the wide receiver coach or the quarterback coach will be taking over. I think Brian Flores, the linebacker coach, is going to end up getting the defensive coordinator job. But this is where they've got to be cautious. You know, the special teams coach, his contract is up, and he's supposed to go with McDaniel to Indianapolis. And Dante Scarnecchia, the great offensive line coach, you know, is retired 2 years ago, has come back for 2 years, and there's no guarantee he's going to come back. And if you lose four quality coaches like that, they're going to be in a real tough spot next year. That's going to be very difficult.
It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah. By the way, they are talking about Greg Schiano maybe joining the staff. That's one option. I don't know if he's not going to be coordinator. Maybe he will, but Greg Schiano can come over and help the defense. And I'm sure Bill has a couple people in mind, because I think that he's realized for the last couple years that the only reason that he hasn't lost McDaniels or he hasn't lost Matt Patricia is because, you know, the team was in the Super Bowl and more teams than not didn't want to wait that long.
Right. Good stuff. The Tale of Two Bills?
I did not. No, I talked to the director, who gave me a lot of great insight. Ken Rogers did the film, but I did not have a chance to watch it yet. It's just been too busy here these last couple of days. But I have it online, so it's just a matter of whenever I get the time free to be able to do it, I will be able to watch it.
Right. All right. Great chat with you. Enjoy the game.
Okay, Michael, hey, thank you very much. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Victor in Auburn. Hey, Victor.
Hey, John, another great show.
Well, thank you. By the way, I'll be doing Moving the Chains on, I believe, although it's not firmed up yet, but it should happen Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
I'll be listening Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, John.
And by the way, I was able to, I got one at the last minute on Thursday, so I actually filled in from 2 until 4, so...
Oh, from 2, okay, because I heard you mention it on, I think, Friday or Thursday on your normal spot on 710, and then I went back to look for it, and I couldn't find you. Maybe I didn't fast-forward far enough to get into it.
Yeah, because it was one of those last-minute things, and it was funny because I was set up to find out, what Gronk's story was going back to my high school, and then I had a separate interview with James Harrison. But then, what happened was Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller had a chance to sit down one-on-one with Bill Belichick and go over some stuff, and so that's why that 2 hours opened up, and they had a chance to get in there and fill in.
Oh, good deal. Hey, a couple quick ones. With this quarterback shuffle going on, where do you think players like Tyrod Taylor will show up, and maybe even Bridgewater or Bradford?
Well, again, I don't know if Tyrod's going to have enough market to get a starting job, but if he doesn't, I mean, you'd have to think he's going to go to Denver, because John Elway wanted to get him a couple years ago. Now, the question is Tyrod Taylor going to trump anything that they're going to be able to get in free agency? Because I do think they're going to go for Kirk Cousins. And so, it may be too expensive to have Cousins and Tyrod Taylor, but there's definite interest from John Elway in Tyrod Taylor because he was interested before. Then, the next one I have to think is that, Cousins, and it's funny because, Cousins has been kind of hanging with me here at the Mall of America. He came over and took a picture. He was giving me high fives. And so he's elated because he knows he's a free agent going to make $27.5 to $28 million.
You think Galway will go that high for Cousins?
I think so. I mean, knowing it didn't work out, trying to go with younger guys like Trevor Siemian and also Paxton Lynch, what does John Elway try to do? Go for the best quarterback available. And right now, the best quarterback available is Kirk Cousins. Okay, yeah, you can say that Drew Brees, but Drew isn't going anywhere. He's staying in New Orleans. So you're not going to get Drew Brees, and Eli Manning's going to stay with the New York Giants. And so by process of elimination, that makes Kirk Cousins the best quarterback on the street. And I would have to think that knowing how John Elway is wired, knowing that the defense has some age developing on it, that they want to try to at least take advantage of a good quarterback with a good defense, then I think that's where they probably will try to work something out with Kirk Cousins.
You think they won't go for a quarterback? If they get Cousins, they're definitely not going to go for a quarterback at number 5, right?
No, I don't think so. They've tried to go in the young way, and I think that John Elway wants to win now, not win later. I mean, he tried to do a win later type of thing with Paxton Lynch and thinking that he can cover himself by having that deal available with Trevor Siemian, but you saw how well it worked. It got him the 5th pick in the draft. So I think that what he wants to do, he wants to win. John Elway does not think about being a wild card or being a 7-9 team. He thinks Super Bowl. He wants Super Bowl every single year he can, and the fastest way to get to the Super Bowl is get a better quarterback, particularly when you can have a draft choice. That's nice. He's not building for the future. He's building for the present.
Yeah, you don't get too many back-to-back losing seasons in Denver. A couple more. Okay, so if I'm assuming if they do land Cousins at that high price, then Aqib's gone, right? And do you think
right.
that anyone on the Broncos are willing to negotiate their contracts to save a little bit of money? Maybe?
Possibly. I mean, you know, even though C.J. Anderson doesn't make a lot, I mean, there, I would have to think there's going to be a couple on the offensive line because, you know, it didn't work out with Menelik Watson, and so he's going to have to probably do something. You know, I don't know if Stevenson's going to be with the team. He's probably going to go. So, yeah, a couple of those contracts on the offensive line I think are going to be readjusted. You know, I don't see anything that's going to be readjusted on the defensive line. Certainly the guys in the secondary are going to stay the same. I mean, Chris Harris is still going to make his money and all that. You know, they have to figure out what they're going to do with Roby to see if, you know, because he's starting to be in a position to get a new contract. Yeah, it's going to be tough. And if you're going to pay $28 million for a quarterback, that's also going to make it tough. But, hey, again, John Elway doesn't think about the idea. It's like, oh, let's try to take some time and be able to, you know, do that. It's like, no, that's not the case. That's not him.
All right, and then two last ones. I'm sorry, John.
Yeah.
You think DT will be able to negotiate his contract, or are they going to possibly?
I'm hearing bad things on that. I mean, it seems like things have kind of fallen out of favor, and my guess is they probably will ask him to take some kind of a pay cut. I think the anticipation is going to be no, and if that's going to be a case, I think there's a good chance that he may not be on the team. Remember, it's like you see with the Seahawks, there's only a certain number of contracts that you can have, and at some point, you know, big contracts, and if you're going to be adding a big quarterback, I mean, I think he's a potential cap casualty.
Oh, that's a shame. DT's a stud, man. That guy could play. He's not soft. He's just a horrible quarterback the last couple of seasons. And then one last one. Where do you think they're going to go with number five then if they get Cousins?
I have to think offensive line. I know that
they
went high. What's that?
That early enough in the draft at five?
Well, possibly, yeah. I mean, because, again, it's like, okay, maybe if there's a good defensive lineman, I think they're okay in the secondary to a degree. Maybe it will be the best cornerback in the draft. But, a linebacker, I think they can patch. D-line, obviously, if they get good value there. Offensive line, though, again, that's their biggest weakness right now. That offensive line, the moves that they've made, for the most part, have not worked out. So I can definitely see them doing something on the offensive line.
All right, John, hey, you have a great weekend, and if you get a chance, fight for Steve Atwater to get in the Hall of Fame. I think he deserves it more than the two safeties this year. Take care, John.
Okay. Hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Now, more John Clayton on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Now, again, you know, one of the things, is, being a Hall of Fame voter, that we have to kind of be cryptic as far as how we handle things, because we know some of the results. We don't know the ultimate results, and we can't really confirm. But also, being a reporter, I can't let you ignore what's a very important thing going on today, which is some things coming out. I can tell you that Everson Walls, the former Dallas Cowboy, New York Giant cornerback, just tweeted out that he's been notified that he did not make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And we just noticed that people on the Washington Redskins are putting out that Joe Jacoby did not make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They're two of the 15 people that are at least in the room today being talked about. So we'll keep you up to date as they try to do that. And again, roughly at 4 o'clock, I should be getting a official release to determine who is in and who's out in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Mike in Bellevue. Hey, Mike.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
I'm a huge Falcons fan. I'm doing good. I'm a huge Falcons fan. I just want to know what you think it's going to take to get them back to the Super Bowl here real quick.
Better performance on offense. I mean, really, that's what it just comes down to, because they underachieved on offense. You know, they didn't get the ball enough to Julio Jones. They did not score enough points. I mean, the thing that I didn't anticipate the offense was going to be as bad as it was, because, again, you're talking about a 32-point offense getting down into the low 20s, and I didn't anticipate that. What I did anticipate is that we're going to be better on defense, because remember, last year, even in going to the Super Bowl, they were giving up about 25 points a game. But if you go back, to like the 2010 season, to 2011, Dan Quinn was here, and they made the same jump Atlanta did as the Seahawks did. You know, they shaved about 4 points off their defense, and in doing so, you know, now particularly with the young players like Deion Jones, who went to the Pro Bowl, you know, Neal, the safety, you know, they added Dontari Poe, you know, they've got pass rushers, and so I thought they were going to be, you know, a 20-21 point defense, and I think they'll even get better next year. So if they can get the offense up to, say, 24-25 points a game, only giving up 20, now you're talking getting back to 10, maybe 11 wins. So, no, I think that they're going to be fine because I think they've got good talent. Dan Quinn's a good coach. The big thing they need to do is just get better performance out of the offense and find ways to get Julio Jones the ball more.
Do you think they should keep Steve Sark around for a little bit longer then?
I think it's debatable. I mean, I think he had a shaky season. A lot of people in Atlanta, you know, wanted him out, but I think that Dan Quinn is trying to be loyal to him. But if it doesn't work next year, then they've got to make a change. But, you know, I had some reservations about him coming back.
All right. Hey, thanks, John. I got to get back to work now.
Okay, Mike, hey, thank you. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN, a Super Bowl edition here of the John Clayton Show. Let's go to Will in Federal Way. Hey, Will.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing good. First time I ever called you, listened to you forever. But I wanted to share one of my favorite T.O. stories with you.
Sure.
We lived up here in the Seattle area for about 12 years, but we used to live in the Bay Area. And my daughter went to a small private school that was in the Bay Area where a lot of the 49er and Raider fans sent their kids. So for a charity event, the 49ers team with Steve Young and T.O., and I think it was T.O.'s rookie year, came out to play the faculty in a basketball game. So about halfway through this game, Steve Young gets a rebound. T.O. streaking down the court, takes the pass, and does this mammoth tomahawk slam dunk. Well, underneath the basket, there's a 5'6" balding math teacher. The ball goes through the rim, hits the teacher on the head, knocks him down, half unconscious, and T.O. just looks at him and runs back down the court. So,
right.
I've never been a big T.O. fan.
I can understand that, but you got to understand, and we talked about that in the room, in the sense that that is T.O.'s makeup on the football field, is that he wants to be physical, and he wants to be more physical than the defensive player that's going to cover him. You know, because you know, when you're talking about Randy Moss, I mean, he was so physically gifted that he's just going to beat you with his speed. I mean, he basically, if you look at Randy Moss's career, you know, in the NFL, they call it the route tree, and there's 9 different routes. Well, Randy Moss only ran 2 routes. He ran the go route, which is the 9 route, which is just going deep, and he ran a crossing route. But he was so talented that you couldn't keep up with him. He was big. He was physically gifted. Where in the case of T.O., I mean, you know, he was big, and he put his effort into his strength. And his strength was to get so strong that, you know, no cornerback could handle him. And that's why he was so good. And so naturally, if you're trying to do that on the football field, you're going to do the same on the basketball field. And so, unfortunately, if you're going to be 5'6" and balding teacher, right, the worst place you need to be is under the basket. I mean, you can't put that on T.O. because T.O.'s going to do something like that in football or basketball. And if you're going to be the 5'6" balding guy, you're going to be one paying the price. That one's on, I think, the teacher, not him. But I can understand, because let's put it this way. You know, I've had my issues with T.O. A lot of people have had their issues with T.O. All I know is, regardless, he needs to get into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I would agree with you on that. But the highlight of the evening was a half-court, no-look, over-the-shoulder swish by Steve Young. That was the highlight.
But isn't he such a gifted athlete?
Oh, God.
I mean, again,
amazing.
Hall of Fame, but again, I mean, again, I don't think they forgot because, again, I mean, he was one of the great running quarterbacks of all time. And then the bonus was that, I mean, he was one of the most efficient quarterbacks of all time, because not only could he run, but, I mean, you looked at I think he was one of the first quarterbacks that consistently, every year, took the quarterback rating. Now, remember, it was the quarterback rating, not the QBR, in that 100 range every single year. I mean, he had one of the highest you could have. Now, some right now with the short passes and the way some of the swing passes are going, you know, they can consistently get over 100. But he was really one of the first to be able to do that.
Oh, he was amazing. Yeah, I grew up in L.A. in the Roman Gabriel days. and saw them play. And then when we moved to the Bay Area, I had tons of nephews and nieces who lived in the Bay Area, all diehard 49er fans. And, of course, I couldn't be cheering for the 49ers. But I never told them that I secretly loved watching Joe Montana and Steve Young play. It was an absolute
fun. Yeah, you can't admit that if you're going to be a Ram fan.
Well, then George.
But I'll tell you, in the same vein,
with the Raiders.
Before I start covering, I was a big Ram fan. You know, because again, I was so fortunate to be able to cover in high school. But what I would do, I'd be there with my mom, and what we would do, we'd go down to the Steeler game. At that time, it was over at Pitt Stadium. So we'd go over to Pitt Stadium, and then it's cold, kind of like it is here in Minnesota. You get back home, you turn on the TV, and then you see. And I called them the Sunshine Supermen because it was like the Rams. And so I mean, you look at this kind of nice, warm place. You got Roman Gabriel, you got the fearsome foursome, you got Jack Snow, I mean, you've got Reynolds, you got so many great players and a great team, and then you're looking at it, I mean, you're starting to thaw out. Like, for example, I know just even going from the meeting room where we had everything over at the Marriott just into the van, I'm still trying to thaw out. I mean, I'm in this room at the Crown Plaza and, right in the on the other side of the Mall of America, and I've got the thing cranked up to 81 degrees, but because it has big windows, I mean, even at 81, there's a chill in the room. So it's like, I've now put on a hoodie on top of a thick shirt, just trying to stay warm. And of course, but when you get home from a cold day at Pitt Stadium, and again, usually it was the Steelers were so bad back then, I mean, you knew they weren't going to win, but you wanted to see something good, and seeing the Rams and Roman Gabriel and the Sunshine Supermen, I love that.
It was fun. Yeah, I saw Willie Ellison when he ran, I think, one time for 234 yards, which back then was a record for one game. That was fun.
Yeah, well, wasn't Roman fun to watch?
Oh, he was. That entire team was fun, although I hated the Vikings, but...
Yeah, but they always lost, so it's like, when they got to the big game, unfortunately, they didn't get the victories.
That's true, but neither did the Rams, so...
No, that's true. Good point there.
Oh, hey, I walked into Minneapolis in the wintertime, and it's not fun, and I've been to the Great Mall, and that's of America. I don't envy you for having to be there all week, but always nice.
I mean, isn't it strange?
Oh, it's bizarre.
I mean, 520 stores, and, now I'm finding out, because I had an Uber driver last night, and the Uber driver who lives there was telling me, confirming something I heard from another Uber driver early in the week, that what happens, even though this is in the middle of the country, and you know that this is the biggest mall or one of the biggest malls in the country, people fly in from overseas to come here and shop for a day or two and then fly back out.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Because I've never seen so many hotels near a mall. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a weird place. What I think is funny is about it, it doesn't matter what direction you go in from, every single corner of it is a duplicate floor by floor by floor. So you can go anywhere you want, you find exactly the same stores.
Right. Very
All
good.
Right, John, thanks
hey, thank you for the phone call.
Okay, bye.
Okay. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle and 710sports.com.
ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Kelly in Snohomish. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, good day, John. How are you today?
Hey, Kelly, by the way, the Bears just announced that Brian Urlacher is one of the five that made the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Right on, as he should.
As yep. He should.
Hey, hopefully you brought a warm coat with you.
Oh, not warm enough, I can tell you that. I'm still freezing.
So I have to tell you, I'm driving down the freeway, coming back, heading north from Bellevue, and it's traffic and rain and just kind of miserable. And to hear you guys talk about, the Rams with Roman Gabriel and Jack Snow and the old Vikings and stuff. And it's just amazing how a game can just take you back to a time in your life. And I remember as a kid, we used to go out and play out in the parking lot or a field or whatever it is, and somebody would be Jack Snow and somebody would be Roman Gabriel. And it's kind of made my day to kind of get lost in that and forget about how miserable the weather is.
Oh, well, again, it's like that's why it was so much fun for myself and the 46 other people that were in the room, you know, because we're sitting there for 8 hours reliving great stories about great players. Like, and I'll give you an example. You know, people, one of the things we take rightful criticism for is like, why didn't Jerry Kramer make the Pro Football Hall of Fame? And, you know, I started voting in 88, and then I find out why I didn't have a chance, because in 87, he'd been an 11-time finalist. 87 was the last time he was a finalist. And so I never had the opportunity to really have a chance to vote him in. So because of that, I mean, we'd have one chance as a senior, and then somehow I voted yes, and somebody else, enough people voted no, but we really couldn't have a chance. But now Jerry Kramer has a chance to come in. We have a chance to get you know, T.O. in and all this stuff. And those are the two names right now that are everybody's waiting for. But, yeah, no, that's the great part. It's so much fun to be able to, you know, talk about that, do that, and, you know, then have a chance to then vote on everything. So, yeah, so your time thinking about the L.A., the Vikings, and the old days, you know, that's great. But, you know, we had 8 hours of that today. And as cold as it is here, that's really good.
Did you ever read
Thank you.
Jerry Kramer's book growing up?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Yeah, that's
why it's like, you know, for three decades we've had a chance waiting and waiting and waiting. I just hope in an hour when we find out what the final vote's going to be that we'll find out that he did make the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It would be devastating if he does not make it in because, again, he so deserves to be there. And today we all had a chance to vote on him. And, again, as long as 10 people didn't say no, Jerry Kramer finally, with his book, with his block, you know, I think when we looked at the all-decade team and that at that time, he was the only one missing. And some people back then, and again, this is before I was voting, took the position, it's like, we have too many Packers, and we're not going to vote any more Packers. Well, in today's room, I hope that's not the case. I hope they took another Packer, number 13 or 14, and put him into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Hey, while we're talking about Hall of Fames, don't you think it's just a sin? Like, with people like T.O., they think, well, because of the way he behaved or the way he acted. You know, and you think about guys like Pete Rose. So if you start making character, you know, the issue and stuff, I mean, where do you draw the line? It's a sin that Pete Rose isn't in the Baseball Hall of Fame, regardless of how you feel about him. And T.O., it's their performance and their athletic abilities that has put him there.
That's why I could see the first year with T.O., the problems he caused in the locker room, all those different things, you know, that could be an issue, but that's put that behind. You know, it's like, okay, so every year now, are we going to keep bringing this up? I mean, the guy caught 1,600 yards. He was a freak on the field. I mean, he was one of the toughest players to stop in the National Football League. He may have driven every quarterback crazy, but every quarterback he was with, they had careers years with him. So, hey, time to get T.O. in. Kelly, thank you for the phone call. 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. Let's go to Commando Dave. David, how are you?
Hey, what's up, John Clayton?
A surprise show. You didn't expect this to happen today, did you?
I was hoping it would. I heard the Hunter guys earlier say it's going to be at 1 o'clock,
yeah.
And so as they got closer to 2, I figured I would text you. I appreciate the text back, and it's great to hear you on the air right out of the chute, man. Let me give a shout out to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Thanks for nothing. But I got to tell you, John Clayton, I'm glad you did have a show today. Put it that way. It's great to be back on the John Clayton Show. It's great to be back on the John Clayton Show for the first time in 2018. And here's a tip for you, John Clayton. Don't go to a New Year's Eve party at Vincent Bothell's house if you got something to do before February.
What happened at Vincent Bothell's house?
Well, you could run into, you know, Seahawks Sal, and next thing you know, you're in a Seahawks, you know, spitting contest for 2 weeks, you know, right
there. That could
there.
Be. So anyway, will Victor be there, or what will be the deal? It's like,
no, Victor's not going to be there. I'll tell you that, man. That's
the
Broncos only party that he's
okay,
anyway,
got it.
Man, Happy New Year and Happy Black History Month. And since it's also the month of Valentine's, let me give a shout-out of a multitude of hearts to Mrs. Clayton. And speaking
Thank
of
you.
Hall of Famers, John Clayton, this is the time of year that is
Hey, by the way,
did
you know
cool.
She's in the Hall of Fame?
Huh?
She, do you know she's in the Hall of Fame? Pat is? My wife? I mean, the South Sound chapter of the Bowling Hall of Fame, Pat was in there in May.
Exactly. That's why I said, speaking of Hall of Famers, I know that.
Yeah.
I've got that on the John Clayton Facebook page. So, yeah, congratulations again. The USBC, I think it is, right?
Right.
There you go, man. Look, like I said, man, always great speaking with you, John Clayton, after the Hall of Fame voting, you know, after the meeting on site at the Super Bowl, and even before you yourself became a Hall of Famer, John Clayton, you were always legendary for locking the door, loosening up your tie, taking off your belt to use it as a whip, grabbing a chair, and just fighting it out for guys you believe deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, most notably Cortez Kennedy. Who was it this year, John Clayton, that you went to battle for the hardest?
Well, let's see. I was pushing for T.O.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed, obviously, for both Kevin Mawai, Steve Hutchinson, made a strong appeal to make sure that Jerry Kramer makes it in. Definitely pushed him real hard. You know, certainly made, you know, an effort on, you know, we didn't have to do anything on Ray Lewis. I mean, you know, he's going to make it. By the way, it looks like a couple more updates. It looks like John Lynch did not make it, and it looks like Brian Dawkins was able to make it into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So that those, according to sources, Tony Baselli, and again, I can't confirm. I'm just giving the reports that are coming out that you know, Tony Baselli looks like he fell short. Now, again, I'm not confirming. Hey, I'm just reporting.
I understand. Well, for my straight cash homie, Randy Moss and T.O. should be able to go in together. If Sean Springs can get over the Sharpie, Hall of Fame voters need to get over the sharp tongue. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
but by the way, you know, Sean Springs, I mean, how about the fact that, you know, that you kind of feel sad for Everson Walls not making it.
Right.
And, you know, here's Everson Walls, who felt so good about his teammate, he gave up his kidney to his teammate, Sean Springs' father.
Wow. I forgot
Remember
all about that
story?
That. Right.
Remember, he gave up his kidney for his teammate.
Wow. Well, hopefully he gets another opportunity of getting in. You know, I was speaking of hard battles, John Clayton, and thank goodness the Sports Bar Network is fighting with We the Fans' efforts to get a Super Bowl in Seattle, and that battle has only heated up this week, seeing all of the snow and hearing everyone talk, including you, about how cold it is in Minneapolis. And if my memory serves me correctly, this is the second time Prince's hometown has hosted. I know Detroit hosted two, so a shout-out to Coach Holmgren for getting the Seahawks to one of them. And even a place you wouldn't think of as being chilly, Dallas had to survive the ice storm of Tom Landry's revenge during the week leading up to Super Bowl 45 was problematic, to say the least. So
hey, remember, I was talking to Rich McKay yesterday, you know, from the Atlanta Falcons, and telling him, remember how bad it was down in Atlanta with the 2 inches of ice that they had down there at their last Super Bowl.
This is what I'm saying. And having heard me say this a few dozen times, John Clayton, you know I believe Seattle is owed its turn to host a Super Bowl. The deal that the NFL makes with municipalities, build a stadium, new stadium, host a Super Bowl. Seattle opened a brand new stadium in 2002 for 15 years, getting passed by under the guise that cold weather cities with outdoor stadiums can't host Super Bowls until, of course, when MetLife Stadium was erected, and I use that term advisedly, and 4 years later, on February 2nd, 2014, it hosted the most glorious Super Bowl of all time when the Seattle Seahawks pounded the Denver Broncos into the turf like it was Seahawks Stadium. Sorry about that, Victor, but I'm trying to make a point here.
Nice.
The team from the city that has long been denied a Super Bowl hosting won the first outdoor stadium cold weather city Super Bowl when it was 47 degrees in Seattle, 46 in East Rutherford, and the point that pretty much rests my case is if East Rutherford gets to host the Super Bowl, the Emerald City must host the Super Bowl, because a little rain compared to all of that snow is nothing. Wouldn't you agree?
I would agree, and I can tell you there are people working on the idea of trying to get a Super Bowl in Seattle. What you need to do, get the politicians to support. I mean, it's a big venture. It can happen. Support the idea. I know the sports people, the sports commission and that, they'd love to be able to do that. Need the support of the people. Get we the fans on that.
I'm on it. And lastly, John Clayton, right quick, ask for Super Bowl 52. I'll give it to the Vikings for coming as close as they did being in it. But since they took a Philly beat down, if the Eagles can pull it off, then at least it would still be in the Bird family, if not with the Seahawks. However, as my guy JB pointed out to me yesterday on Game Time, if the Patriots win, not only will it be number six, it will be the Hitchcock trifecta against the Birds, Seahawks, Falcons, and Eagles. But it can't be, John Clayton. The biggest Eagles Super Bowl party going to be at Buckley's in Belltown. Go Eagles. Safe travels to you, John Clayton.
Okay, Commando, thank you. Hey, continuing along here, 866-979-ESPN, 206-421-ESPN. It's the John Clayton Show on 710 ESPN Seattle.